KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly cloudy skies. It's 4 degrees above zero. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with a chance of scattered flurries and a high of 25. There is a wind chill advisory still in effect until 9 a.m. for most of the KJAN listening area, except for Harrison and Monona counties. And that is due to wind chills that will range from 15 to 25 degrees below zero. The news is brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen. Well, pork producers in Iowa and across the country are growing increasingly concerned about the threat of the African swine fever, or ASF. Curtis Meyer runs a 160 sow farrow to finish operation near Clarinda.
It'd be disastrous if we get it here in the U.S.
ASF has been spreading in China in recent months, and products with the virus have been detected in Australia, South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan. Here in Iowa, Meyer says producers have always emphasized biosecurity on their farm, but there are some things they just can't control.
You know, it's really scary that the amount of feed ingredients we get from China, and you know, it don't necessarily have to be in the ingredients. It can be on the confounded containers that hauling the stuff over here.
Livestock economist Steve Meyer says African swine fever could have a big impact on hog prices in the coming months. If ASF continues to spread in China, it could be positive for U.S. pork producers.
The losses in China get completely out of hand, and they have to go to the world market to just feed their people, and we can get maybe our tariff situation settled enough that we can participate in that. That would be a real positive for us.
But if AFS were to enter the U.S., Meyer said it would obviously be devastating.
If it comes here, we're blocked from exports immediately, and we have 23% more pork, and we've got to work through all of that. And so even if we contain it quickly and it doesn't kill very many pigs, I mean, we can't export until we prove that it's contained.
But Meyer also thinks the U.S. is much better prepared to deal with an ASF outbreak, which could limit any potential long-term damage to the markets. Curtis Meyer and Steve Meyer both spoke with Brownfield Ag News during this week's annual meeting of the Iowa Pork Producers Association in Des Moines. Running down a complete list here that we have so far of the late starts for area school districts before we take our break. Atlantic Community Schools, Adair Casey Guthrie Center, Bedford, Clarinda, Creston, they're all 2 hours late start this morning. East Mills, Essex, and Fremont Mills are 90 minutes late today. Griswold, the Lenox Schools, Nottoway Valley, Orient Magsburg, Red Oak, Southwest Valley, and Stanton are all running 2 hours late. A 1 hour late start for the Trainer School District today. West Central Valley and Atlantic Head Start are running 2 hours late today. And some side notes for those schools. Buses in Nottoway Valley are running on the hard surfaces only today. And there is no morning preschool at West Central Valley, no morning preschool for Atlantic Jack and Jill at the YMCA, and no morning preschool for the Atlantic Little Lambs. The Southwest Iowa Planning Council, or SWPCO, in conjunction with the cities of Walnut and Griswold, is holding housing assessment meetings in the coming weeks. In Walnut, the housing assessment meeting will be held Thursday, January 31st at 6 p.m. at the Walnut Community Building. In Griswold, the meeting takes place Thursday, February 7th at the Griswold Community Building. The purpose of each meeting is to gather public input on the current condition of the housing stock in each city, to address the rehabilitation of current housing, development of new housing, and affordability of housing. That will also include setting goals to improve and maintain the housing conditions within each city and what avenues the cities may explore to reach those goals. The information obtained will be added to other data to formulate a formal written housing assessment for the city, and as part of the public participation requirement of the Community Development Block Grant application the cities are applying for in April of this year. The meetings will conclude with asking all participants, if they have not done so already, to fill out a housing survey and a CDBG pre-application. SWPCO lead planner Alexis Fleener says public participation is a critical component of the housing assessment and application process. In addition, the meeting gives residents an opportunity to be involved in the future of their city. Housing has been identified as a major contributing factor to the growth or decline of our towns, according to Fleener, and housing assessment as a proactive approach to address those factors that could be detrimental and set clear goals for how to continue to thrive and grow. The CDBG Owner-Occupied Housing and Repair Program the cities are applying for seeks to bring homes up to the Iowa minimum housing rehabilitation standards. Items repaired may include furnaces, water heaters, windows, doors, roofing, siding, foundation, and so on, up to $24,999. If you'd like more information on the housing assessment meeting plan or the CDBG application, contact Alexis Fleener at SWPCO. Her number is 866-279-4720. In nonprofit organizations in Cass and Audubon counties are being reminded that applications for funds from the separate Cass and Audubon County Community Foundations are due in about a week. In each county, approximately $115,000 in grant funds are available for nonprofit organizations that submit their respective county applications by no later than February 1st. Only those organizations providing charitable services in Cass or Audubon County are eligible in each respective county only, and they must be able to demonstrate broad community and county-based support and be an IRS-approved 501c3 nonprofit, public charity, or hosted by a fiscal sponsor. Requests for general operational funds will not be considered. Detailed application procedures, fact sheets, and a link to the application form can be obtained online at www.omahafoundation.org/SWIowa, and applications will only be accepted through the online system. You can find that link under this same story as well as contacts for your local county on the web news page at kjan.com. Elsewhere in the news, Iowa Senator Joni Ernst said in an interview that she was raped by a boyfriend while she was a student at Iowa State University but did not report the assault. In an interview with Bloomberg that was posted online Wednesday night, Ernst disclosed the attack. She also clarified her discussions with President Trump about becoming his running mate. Ernst, a first-time Republican from Iowa, this week spoke about her troubled marriage and other aspects of her life after media disclosures based on court documents from her recently settled divorce from 65-year-old Gail Ernst. They were married 26 years, and the couple had one daughter, adult daughter. Ernst, who's 48, told Bloomberg that she decided to disclose the rape after court filings were publicized, including her allegations that her husband assaulted her. She said she was in a relationship with a man who was physically and sexually abusive, and said that he raped her at his home and threatened to kill himself if she ended the relationship. She called a campus sexual assault counseling center hotline and ended the relationship with a man she had in college but didn't report the attack to police. During her 2014 Senate campaign, Ernst noted that she volunteered at the counseling center but didn't acknowledge the assault. She was embarrassed, she said, and didn't know how to explain it. She said she was so humiliated and that she's a private person when it comes to those types of things. Ernst declined to name the man who had attacked her, noting that she'd described the assault to her former husband but not divulged the man's identity. In court affidavits filed during her divorce hearings, Ernst said that Trump had interviewed her in 2016 to be his vice president. Ernst wrote that I turned candidate Trump down, knowing it wasn't the right thing for me or my family. In the Bloomberg interview, she clarified that Trump didn't offer her the job and that after thinking about it, she phoned then-campaign chairman Paul Manafort to withdraw from consideration. Trump eventually chose Indiana Governor Mike Pence, who, of course, is now vice president. And Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley said he's praying for his colleague and fellow Senator Joni Ernst. The private life of the senator has become very public lately with the release of the documents surrounding her divorce. There are allegations of extramarital affairs, physical abuse by her now ex-husband. And as we mentioned, Ernst said that Wednesday night that she was raped while she was a student at Iowa State University.
People know how much I respect Senator Ernst, and I don't think I should in any way comment on her private life. And all I can say, she's got to deal with a very tough situation that probably shouldn't be discussed publicly, but it seems to me that she's handling it very well.
Grassley, who is 37 years older than Iowa's junior senator, was asked if he's attempted to talk with Ernst since the personal details of her life went public to offer his advice or comfort.
Obviously, I support her totally, and it may sound sentimental to say that I'll pray for her, and I guess to be more direct to your question and not to really expand on anything I said, but yes, I did reach out to her.
Grassley said it should be clear from the schedule that Ernst keeps that she's working hard for Iowans every day. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.